May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text for this morning is the gospel lesson from John chapter 20. You may be seated. Imagine, if you will, in your mind, a wedding. Picture a bride and a groom, the officiant. And then suddenly, the officiant of the wedding pulls out his cell phone and sets up a conference call with the bride and the groom. They then exchange their vows over the phone, as none of them are in the same state. Is that really a wedding? Or imagine you're out hiking, and there's no one else around. You stumble, your foot slips between two rocks into the crevice, you break your ankle, your foot is stuck fast and unable to move. Fortunately, you have your cell phone. You call 911, and the dispatcher sets up a video chat with you and the EMT, who tries to tell you what to do, but nobody comes. There's no further assistance. Is that the medical attention you need? What if you told me that you wanted me to baptize your grandchild or your child, and I said, of course, let's set up the baptism over Zoom? You might be a little upset. Maybe these examples seem a bit contrived. Perhaps they are. But there are certain situations when you and I need other people. We need people to be physically present. Situations and circumstances where the radio, TV, cell phone, Zoom, YouTube, Twitter just doesn't cut it. Not surprisingly, Christianity is a very physical, earthly religion. To Christians, physical stuff matters. Matter matters. God created everything we can see and touch and smell and hear and taste. And we know that God created us, human beings, with a soul and a body. And so God interacts with us both physically and spiritually. Those two things are never separate. To be truly human means to have a body and a soul. This is one reason, I think, why death is such a fear to us. Because it consists of a wrenching separation of our bodies from our souls. And yet God promises to see us even through death, and to one day raise our bodies and the bodies of all those who believe, to reunite soul and body to eternal life that is again spiritual and physical. It's also important to realize that God interacts with us physically. This physical interaction of God with people is very common in the Old Testament. God walked with Adam and Eve. God visited and ate with Abraham. God wrestled with Jacob. God marked his people physically through the covenant of circumcision. God appeared to Moses in the burning bush and spoke with him. God appeared to Moses and Aaron and all the elders of Israel on Mount Sinai. God led the people of Israel by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. His presence could be seen and felt in the tabernacle, in the temple. And the priests would physically sprinkle blood on people, the blood of the sacrifice, in atonement for their sins. I don't imagine that sprinkling of blood on people on the Day of Atonement would have quite the same effect if it was done over Zoom. God graciously interacts with us in ways that we can understand, in ways that we can see and hear and smell and taste and touch. We don't have to guess or wonder if God is really at work. During this time of pandemic, we have seen the effects that physical isolation can have on people. On the one hand, we seek to protect one another from the ravages of COVID-19. On the other hand, we have learned more about how isolation can psychologically impact people. Sometimes we just need people. We need them to be physically present. And though they may be absent for a time, that time has to end. It's simply how we're made. Our gospel lesson, I think, is an illuminating testimony to the ongoing physical nature of our faith. Though we are called to live by faith and not by sight, our faith is created and sustained through very physical means. We can start with Thomas. Thomas, who didn't believe the resurrection testimony of the other 11 disciples, it was as if Thomas was already sensing the arguments that might come against the resurrection. Some resurrection deniers would say that Jesus never really died. He just appeared to be dead. Others would say that the disciples stole the body and hid it away, while others would claim that Christ only rose spiritually, that his spirit appeared to the disciples like some sort of ghost or phantasm. So Thomas needs proof. He insists on the evidence that will put these false resurrection ideas to rest. He needs to see the body. He needs to touch the body. He needs to know that the crucified Jesus was also now the risen Jesus, the same man. And the first part of our gospel lesson also highlights the physical nature of our spirituality. Notice that Jesus gives the Spirit, his Spirit, to the disciples by breathing on them. The physical, risen Jesus imparts his Spirit to them through his body, from his body. And now the disciples will go out and impart the Holy Spirit to others through their preaching and teaching and baptizing. They will go proclaiming what Christ has done for all people. They will go pouring water over the heads of people to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. They will go feeding people with the Word of God and with his physical body and blood in the physical bread and wine of the supper. They, people, will deliver the gifts of Jesus Christ to other people. Chief among those gifts is the forgiveness of sins. Now you'll notice in our gospel lesson that Jesus gave to his disciples authority to forgive sins or to retain them. It's interesting in the Gospel of Mark, when Jesus forgave the sins of the paralytic man prior to healing him, the Pharisees balked. Well, who can forgive sins but God alone? This man is blaspheming. The same thing happens today. When a pastor announces, "I forgive you all of your sins," as I did in the words of absolution this morning, it rubs people, some people, the wrong way. Who is he to forgive sins? He's just a man. But it is the way that God chooses to work, to give you his promises through people and through things, people and things of his choosing and of his design. So we gather together here, physically. Christ's body that hung on the cross and that rose from the grave, that body that the disciples touched, is present here. He is present with his word, which I proclaim to you. He is present in the forgiveness of sins, which I announce over you. He is present physically in the body and blood from this altar, the body and blood placed on your lips. And we are the body of Christ, as Paul describes us. Each of our individual bodies is a temple to the Holy Spirit, and collectively we make up the many members of Christ's one body, the church. And this body of Christ, does what Christ did. It carries the message of Christ, crucified and risen, to everyone we meet. The church sends pastors to feed God's people with the proclamation of the death and resurrection, and with the body and blood of Jesus. Christ gave the 11 apostles authority to forgive and retain sins in his name, and the church exercises that same authority today. Paul tells us that we are always carrying in our bodies the death of Christ so that the life of Christ may also be manifest in these bodies. We carry Christ's life to a world that would seek to deny the physical resurrection of Jesus or claim that it doesn't really matter. We are, as Luther says, little Christs to our neighbors. This incarnational understanding of the church, the earthy physicalness of it, is often hard for some people to grasp. For many, religion is about feelings, ecstatic states, meditation, communing with nature, or ascending to God in some spiritual sense, whatever that might mean. But for us, it's about the body of Jesus, dead and risen. We, the body of Christ, the body and blood of Jesus given from this altar, the body matters. Jesus' body and our bodies. God wants you to know that the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation are for you. And so he uses physical means to do that. Me, your pastor, baptism, the Lord's Supper, his word, the word of absolution in your ear. These are all ways that God is delivering to you his gifts. Concrete, physical things linked to physical and spiritual promises. This is how God works. So as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord for the next several weeks, let us heed the word of the writers to the Hebrews, who encourages, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. In the name of our risen Lord, Christ is risen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.